Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Mondays. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from the heart of madness. For another Homes Alone edition, it's Sunday, July 5th, 2020. My guests today are Matt Fernandez, Kasim G, and Dan Van Kirk.
Hello.
Yay. Hi. Hello.
There's usually like a big applause at that part. Instead, it's just everybody sheepishly saying, well, hey, what's up? Let's meet my guests individually and alphabetically, starting with phoning it in. From Florida, it's Matt Fernandez. Hey, Matt.
Hey, thanks for distracting me from everything going on in my nightmare of a state right now. I really appreciate it.
What's the deal with Florida? Were the fireworks crazy last night?
They were going off till about 2 a.m., yeah.
Oh, well, that's nothing. L.A. goes 24 hours, I think, at this point. But it's still crazy, right?
Are they legal in L.A.?
What's that?
Are they legal in L.A.?
That doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know. Not that it matters. I just know that you guys are, you know, always on fire.
Yeah. No, there's like sparklers and ground ones and, you know, maybe a bottle rocket you could buy legally. But most of the big ones that shoot up into the sky and explode, those are illegal. I don't know where everybody's getting them. But, man, like, whoever's selling that stuff is probably the richest person alive.
They had a big year. Yeah.
Yeah, such a big year.
Those are everywhere here.
I'd enjoy it more if all the fireworks were not only illegal but also stolen in the first place. Like, it makes me sad that these people are putting so much of their money into fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
It's a stock that goes straight up and then fizzles out. So Matt, have you done any stand-up comedy in Florida since this? Since I assume some
we
of the
were, yeah, I run a show at a brewery in Palm Harbor, and we did shows for about a month before they were like, "All right, we got to shut down again." So I did a few shows, but not enough to really feel like I got back into the swing of things.
Does feel good though to do it though, right?
Oh, it was so, I was giddy the first time back on stage. I couldn't stop smiling like a fucking goon. I was so happy. But I miss it. I can't wait for it to come back to normal again.
Fair enough. Also joining us today is Kasim G. It's been a minute. How you doing?
I know. Thanks for having me back. It's probably been close to 4 years. So nice to hear you.
Yeah, that's crazy. I know that you used to, come on the Getting Doug with High pretty frequently because you live so close by, we could call you.
I was the most available guest you had. Yeah. And because of that,
over there
and you I had to get sober. And that's what happened. I got sober. And it's been 3.5 years of no weed for me, which I'm sorry to, disappoint any of the Getting Doug with High fans, but that's, that was a different part. That was a different part of our relationship, and hopefully we can pick it up here on Doug's Loves Movies.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you did do Doug Loves Movies before as well. And, I think you're great on any show I do.
You'll take me sober.
Yeah. But that's also, I feel a little bad about how many years did I just reach out every once in a while and say, hey, come back on Getting Done with High. And you had to remind me.
I don't think it was maybe more than once or twice. And I was honestly more just embarrassed that I had to be like, I'm just sober now. Like it sounds like I'm basically telling you I'm no fun anymore. Like just get somebody else. But I was always a little, I hope Doug still likes me. That was always kind of my position. You're always nice about it.
When I first met Doug, I couldn't smoke weed. I was on probation. And that sucks. It sucks to work with Doug when you really aren't smoking weed.
Yeah. Since I've stopped talking to Doug, my life has gotten infinitely better.
And that's true as well for our third guest today. And, and I got to say, it's been a minute since we've had all men, and boy, does it feel great. it's Dan Van Kirk. Hey, Dan.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How are you?
You were in L.A. last night, yes?
Mm-hmm.
How'd that work out for you?
Oh, I just put on some war movies, and it just felt like surround sound.
Mm.
So it was great.
Which ones did you watch?
Fury.
I love
that's great.
Fury.
That's the one where Shia LaBeouf knocked out his own tooth for the character.
Yeah, and then Brad Pitt cut his own hair. So it's about even.
They're both so committed.
So committed.
I suppose that would be a really good one to watch because it's probably a lot of explosions throughout that movie.
Yeah, a lot of heavy artillery.
Yeah, a lot of muffled ones because they're inside a tank.
That's true. Yes, that as well.
Yeah, so you're inside your home tank watching Fury.
Right, and just like in that movie, every time things go bad, I just start yelling out, greatest job I ever had.
Yeah, best job I ever had.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I have two Fury fans in one episode.
Yeah, I feel like that movie got shit on a lot, but I loved it. I loved John Bernthal's character. I loved how
Pena.
Michael Pena is so funny. The whole story he's talking about how they had to kill all those horses. How you kill a horse? You gotta pet it and pet it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's like it's one of the saddest bum out movies.
Yeah, it's too real. It's too war. You want to see war? Here's war.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that in the Dome, one of the few movies I've seen in the Arclight Dome, and I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, I thought everyone was acting circles around Brad Pitt. I don't know if I feel, I'm the only one that feels that way, but he does that thing where he furrows his brows a lot, but everyone else seemed like they were, embodying actual characters. But, it's cool. He looks great when he's dirty.
He does. He really does. And, yeah, that movie, the guy that wrote and directed it, he also did that great movie with Gyllenhaal and Pena, End of Watch.
Love End of Watch.
That's a great movie.
That would be especially scary to watch in sitting in your home in Los Angeles right now. but yeah, because that movie, everything that could happen to a cop happens over the course of that movie. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So much incident.
That also falls into a category of movie, like movies that take place over the course of a year. Like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, End of Watch. I'm trying to think of other movies that take a year to tell?
Well, I mean, the
365 days.
Yeah, 365 days.
Solid 0% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Oh, yeah, that Netflix movie. Is that zero?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, we watched a few minutes of it. It's just like a porn with, it's like a soap opera with pornographic scenes.
Really?
It's really strange.
I might check it out.
There's another movie on Netflix right now called Love by Gaspar Noé, and it starts with a scene where a woman's blowing a dude while he's fingering her, and it's you see all of it. It starts like that, and then at the end of that scene, then the title card comes up. I'm just like, Netflix has something that, like, if anybody's just scrolling through, because it's even in the top 10 on Netflix right now, I think. So any child could just click on it, and that's the very first image. See, it's crazy.
Interior day. Fingers in puss.
Mm-hmm. What's another movie that starts out with a sex scene? Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah, with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Is that?
Yeah.
Wolf of Wall Street starts with him blowing coke into a girl's asshole.
Oh, is that, what is that?
I made the mistake of taking my parents to see that movie, and they got uncomfortable real quick.
What does that do, though, if it's blown up your ass? Does it have the same effect as if you snorted it?
I'm not going to talk like I know about it. Something cool, I bet. I don't know.
As somebody who wants to know about it, I assume it's the same as alcohol. Like, you get, it gets right into your system super fast.
Yeah, real thin membranes right around there.
Oh, so wait, so that's the same deal? You could get super drunk through your ass?
Oh, yeah. You've never heard of vodka tampons?
I think I have, but I just thought that was about Russian vampires.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, there's people who do that. It's, I believe it's called butt chugging, but we have really gone off now.
Damn. Okay. Well, I learned a little bit today, and I hope you guys have learned a lot of bit in your life about movies, because it's time for me to say, oh, the game has begun. We're going to start today with a game called Whose Tagline Is It Anyway? That's where I go to you individually, and we'll go in alphabetical order, just like the introductions. I'll say a tagline from a real movie, and then if the first person can't name it, the second person gets a chance, and so does the third. And if nobody names it, nobody gets the point. But there will be a theme that will emerge over the course of the game, so that should help go it down, because there's certainly almost as many taglines as there are motion pictures. And last time I counted, there's over 2,000 movies have been made.
Let's do it.
That's not that number's probably a little low. All right. Matt Fernandez.
Yeah.
What movie has or had, depending on how you look at it, this tagline? From zero to hero.
Shazam?
That's a great guess. He certainly did that. I don't know if you call a child a zero, though. I guess. Kasim, what do you think?
I want to say Rudy or Lucas. Can I do two? Really, let's go with
be real bummer if you pick the wrong
let's
one.
Go sure. Let's go Lucas.
I'll just tell you right now, neither of those is correct.
Thank you.
But I love both of those guesses.
Yeah.
And Rudy is like, I don't know how much lower you could set the bar for achievement that deserves a bunch of cheering at the end of a movie than him going on the field and playing in one play at the end of the game.
Yeah, and he jumps off sides too. They just didn't call the penalty.
It is, I mean, has anyone done anything less than that to be the hero at the end?
That's a great question.
That's crazy. Dan Van Kirk, what do you think of this?
I want to say I want to say Angus. But I'm going to go with... I also want to say Hitchcock. I won't do any of those. I'll go Mystery Men.
Why would the tagline be describing one person and then the movie is about
men? They all did it. They all went from zero to hero.
Mysterious
from
man.
Zeros to heroes is what it would be, though.
Yeah, I guess. Fine, I'll go Hitchcock, even though that's not right either. I could choose any of those wrong answers, I suppose.
Yeah. The correct answer is a motion picture from, what year is that? 1994, called The Mask.
Oh, Jim Carrey.
All over my Hulu splash.
Yeah, movie. Yeah.
I just watched The Mask.
Okay, next up.
Kapowski.
Here's another one for you, Matt. Nobody's got a point yet. Sometimes the most unlikely people become heroes.
Can I say Mystery Men?
These taglines describe like every movie ever made.
You were allowed to say it. But Matt has to make a guess.
Heroes. I'll say Mystery Men for this one.
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
Kasim? And Dan, do you have any suggestions for something for Kasim to guess?
I know.
The Incredibles.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, the terrible guess, but yeah, that's my guess.
Okay. Sometimes the most unlikely people become heroes, Dan.
I'm going to go with sometimes the most unlikely people.
Yeah, whisper it.
Heroes. I know it does feel like you're like gonna be smarter if you whisper. I'll go with Jumanji, the reboot.
Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, that's definitely not correct when you give me the full title.
Yeah, the tagline probably references something about the jungle or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
This movie is from 1983, I think, and it is called simply Mask.
Wow.
Okay. We got a strong hunch going into this next one.
Which really goes against my statement about From Zero to Hero, about how, why would that be multiple people?
Right.
Whereas Mask, there's just the one... the main guy, right? And they're saying he's the hero, but they use a plural.
I wonder if we're all thinking of the same movie right now.
I don't know.
Leonardo DiCaprio
really famous movie.
No, but not
starring Cher and Sam Elliott and Eric Stoltz and Laura Dern, called Mask. I don't know what other movie.
Oh no, I meant for the next question. I wonder if we're thinking of the movie. But now I'm thinking of two. Thanks.
Oh, I'm thinking of two, yeah.
Yeah.
You're turning this into some sort of chess game and getting ahead of me.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to talk about Cher's performance in Mask.
I guess they were all heroes.
Sure.
They were all uplifting each other. Okay, so no points yet. We're back to you, Matt. What movie had the tagline, "The Night He Came Home"?
I'll go The Mask of Zorro.
That takes place on a night he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had my guess ready. I came home, and then I don't know, how did he become Zorro? Something happened.
Yeah, that's true. He has to have an origin story, and that probably does involve nighttime or coming home.
For sure.
Kasim?
The Man in the Iron Mask.
I love it. Dan?
Masquerade. Masquerade 2024.
It's the night he came home is in reference to a gentleman who wears a mask named Michael Myers.
Oh,
that's the tagline for Halloween. I was
what a curveball.
Pulled the switcheroo. All right,
pretty memorable tagline the night he came home. But also, I tried to throw you off by not emphasizing the word he. The night he came home is I think in bold. He is in bold letters on a poster. This is exciting. We've got a three-way tie.
Yeah.
You guys, you know what's got, you know what's up. You know where this is going. Matt, what movie had the tagline, "When freedom is a memory and justice is outlawed, the just must become outlaws"?
The Mask of Zorro.
That is correct.
Yes.
I thought that was a great tagline for the world right now.
For sure.
It's a very, very long tagline.
It goes on and on, yeah. But that means you're on the board. You've got a point, Matt.
Congrats, Matt. So well done.
Kasim, you get to go first, though, on this next one.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. For the honor of a king and the destiny of a country, all for one.
All for one. King Arthur?
No.
Arthur?
No.
The mask?
Market? No.
We're still doing the mask thing, right?
What's that?
We're still doing the mask stuff?
You've had your turn.
Yeah, all right.
Dan?
The Three Musketeers?
No, that's All for One and One for All.
Says Bryan Adams and Rod Stewart.
All the great singers. That sounds scratchy.
Nobody else.
All the singers with sore throats say it. What do you think it is, Matt? You could really
the
run
man
away.
The Iron Mask, right?
What's that?
The Man in the Iron Mask?
Correct.
Oh.
It really felt like the Three Musketeers.
I thought,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, that All for One is just like, I guess that's a spin on the Three Musketeers. Like, oh, but this is just one guy in a mask.
Right. And then I started thinking, like, is there a movie just called D'Artagnan?
Should be. That's a great idea.
That would be good.
He's always lumped in with those other ones. He should get his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that means I think Matt's going to win this thing, but I love to keep going. So we'll go to you, Kasim.
Man in the Iron Mask.
Man in the Iron Mask 2. The Next Generation of Mischief.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Son of the Mask.
That is correct.
Yes.
Figured it out.
I think it's Michael Bolton for the third singer in the All for One and All for Love song.
He sings it too?
I think it's Rod Stewart, Michael Bolton, and Bryan Adams.
How does Bolton sound when he sings it?
Gorgeous.
Okay. Let's see here. I've got one more, but it's stupid. So, I mean, it's not stupid. It's kind of a tiebreaker. And so that means that Matt officially wins that game.
Yay.
Good job,
Matt. But I was for a tiebreaker. I was going to see who could answer first. So guys, just play along and see who could say the answer first. What movie's theme song is called "Suicide is Painless"?
MASH.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny that the answer was always mask, and then the last one is mash.
For some reason, I felt like you were going to go with an Eyes Wide Shut too, just because of the role that Masks play in that.
Masks.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, there was lots of opportunities for mask situations, but I was just so happy so many movies just have the word mask right there in the title. So yeah, so in case this game didn't drive the point home, everyone should wear masks, and we are going to go to a brief commercial message, and we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. I told you that it was going to be short, and I hope everybody goes and buys whatever was discussed. Matt Fernandez, you won the last game, so that means that you get some control in our second and final determining game of today. It's a game called Last Person Standing, and you get to pick an actor or actress. You get to strategically choose who you think you're going to know more of the titles of their movies than Kasim or Dan or me, because I like to play along on this one. So whose filmography, you've played this game before, Matt.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I want to do like weird, Willem Dafoe.
Oh, this is terrific. I hope none of you name a movie that I'm not positive about, because I don't do any fact checking, because that makes games less fun. The person who is looking it up on their phone when you're all trying to figure something out is the least fun person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're trying to make a game out of it. Okay, so we're going Willem Dafoe and... yeah, that's it. Just we'll take turns. We'll start with Matt and then Kasim and then Dan and then me. Go ahead. Give us the first one, Matt. Yeah, you go first.
John Wick.
To choose from all of them. What?
John Wick.
Oh. That's interesting. Because... Set somebody else up for failure with that, Kasim.
Spider-Man.
That's a good one. Dan.
Spider-Man 2.
All right, I might as well just say Spider-Man 3 and get that out of the way. Back to you, Matt.
The Florida Project.
I really like that movie.
I love that movie. Yeah.
It's so, I don't know. I find it so strangely uplifting at the end, even though it's just kind of a fantastical ending.
And I love how they stole those shots. They just went to Disney World and just followed those girls around with the little camera and hope nobody stopped them.
Yeah. And then the most expensive lawyers in the world told Disney World, let's just let this one go.
Because
Disney World didn't want to be fighting against an independent feature.
Mm-hmm.
That would look ends bad for
with
them.
Ends with very this weird kind of fantasy Disneyland.
Yeah, it ends with the sentiment that like every child just wants to be happy and go there.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. Just the colors to that movie, like I love that street where it takes place in Kissimmee, Florida, because it's all mini golf and.
I used to live in Kissimmee.
What?
One of the worst places. Yeah. My dad worked at the Marriott there right by Disney World, and it is just such a shithole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really a awful street unless you are a mini golf enthusiast.
Which I am.
Right.
I swear I was there with a comic one time and we were there for a few days doing a gig and I think we played most of the but also Chasm and Kissimmee so close to, but did you get a hard time about that?
No, I didn't get a hard time about it, although this is the first time I actually put those two together, and I thank you for bringing that to my
oh my god, really?
Yeah. Anytime I say it, people always go, yeah, kiss me, dude, yeah, cool, kiss me, and That always gets super old, but I only spent 6 years there. So the rest, I grew up in Southern California. So I consider myself a California boy.
All right. Well, either way, I mean, close to a Disney park. So that's
don't fault me for living there.
like I said, that movie really captures that, that area.
It does. Absolutely.
That's just most of Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The amount of loose gators that are walking around the highway is staggering. Yep. It's like unbelievable how they just let them walk around.
And random purple and green apartment buildings. That's Florida.
So strange. Well, good luck down there, Matt. Kasim, it's your turn.
Well, I haven't gone.
Oh, okay.
Where'd you go? I mean, Matt just gave the most recent.
Oh, that's right. I'm so sorry. I did go. Look at me, guys.
Look.
I'll say Boondock Saints. I think that was one of my earlier Willem Dafoe movies.
Now it's your turn, Dan.
It is. I completely forgot going. I'll go to The Lighthouse.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me. I gotta masturbate. Forgot about that. or I could have gone, that reminds me, I have to beat a bird to death.
Yeah.
That movie is so weird.
Yeah, fuck a mermaid puss.
Oh, man, I can't. We might have to edit that out because I don't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mermaids. I don't have any mermaids.
I'd have to penetrate a mermaid's lower half.
I wish I could think of a Willem Dafoe mermaid movie, but I don't think that's a thing. So I'm going to say, I'm going to get close to it, though. I'm going to say The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Mm.
Are you ready for this?
Mm.
Aquaman. you saying fuck a mermaid puss reminded me that he was in Aquaman.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks, man.
Aquaman. Back to you, Kasim.
Loved him in American Psycho.
Oh yeah.
As the detective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, titles are flooding into my head. This is exciting. Dan?
Thank you for everybody who hasn't said the only ones I remembered. Unless something dawns on me, this might be it. For now, I can go with Platoon.
Yeah.
I will say I'm going to go back to what I think is the first time I ever saw him on screen and was immediately like, that guy's awesome. He's wearing what looks like garbage bag fashioned into overalls. And that's in a movie called Streets of Fire.
Hmm.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's an interesting movie. It's Walter Hill, probably right after around 48 Hours. And some people love it. That's what I'll say about it. Mm-hmm. People who get into the soundtrack like it a lot, because it's a lot of music in it. Matt?
The reason I said him was Inside Man. We just watched that last night.
Oh, yeah.
And he is in there.
Great bank heist movie.
Yep.
God, I mean, Spike Lee directed that, and now I'm starting to realize, I wonder if there's a great American director, or foreign director too, because he works internationally, who, you know, is there a great director out there that's never worked with Willem Dafoe? I feel like there might not be. I mean, Hitchcock, obviously, but other than that, he's not out there anymore. Back to Kasim.
Yeah, I've been saving this one because I'm pretty sure none of you have seen it, but I watched it on Disney Plus. It's Togo. The story about the sled dog.
Dog sledding, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't recommend it. I'm a sucker for dog movies too, you know, because I have a dog and I like to think I have a bond with my dog. I love movies like Hachi, you know, and things where there's a man and a dog and the two have the deepest bond, as close as you could have without it being sexual. And it's, I think, the last Willem Dafoe movie in my bank. But yeah, I'm going to go with Disney's Togo.
Okay. Did you see that Harrison Ford Call of the Wild?
No, I watched the trailer for it. And I like practical because it's a CGI dog. I'm a very particular
CGI Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I don't know how he does that at his age, but I have to have a practical dog in my movies.
Yeah, Harrison Ford hasn't been there on a lot of his movies in the last few years. and he's too busy crashing planes. But
that's right.
I watched that trailer and went, nope. Like, cause the thing I most want to see in a movie about a man and a dog is the fucking dog doing the job.
Right.
The dog should go, the job should go to a dog and not to a computer. Now I'm standing by that.
Agreed.
Okay, good. I thought I got cut off again. Dan.
Okay. A lot of times when, you know, Doug, we've been doing this together for 5 years, and
I think we've been doing Zoom calls together for a long time.
We were early on that tip earlier. And sometimes you like have a guess that, like, a lot of times when I don't know, I just say Shark Tale. This I would put close to that, but I feel like maybe there's a chance he's in it because it feels kind of right, but then obviously if it's not, I'm just thinking of a movie I can't remember. Ants?
He might be an ants.
Is Ants the Woody Allen one, or was that Bugs Life?
Yeah, Ants is the Woody Allen one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Woody Allen and Sylvester Stallone, and I don't remember any of the other ants.
All right.
But I also feel like, I feel confident that you're not going to win today.
Oh, of course not. No, because
I'm going to write down Ant with a question mark and look into it at another time.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. And then I'm going to say what actually might have been the first time I saw Willem Dafoe, because now I'm confused which one came out first, Streets of Fire or To Live and Die in L.A., which is William Friedkin. And not only is it an incredible movie, it's very entertaining. There's lots of good actors in it. But it also has a chase scene on the freeway in Los Angeles where, this is the weirdest thing, in the movie, a character drives on the freeway up the off-ramp and going the wrong way against traffic. And, get away from the cops. And William Friedkin closed off the freeways to film the sequence and then had all the cars going in the wrong direction And so when he goes on the off-ramp and he goes up into the, all the other cars, all the cars are going the wrong way. He's the only one going the right way.
Whoa.
It's the weirdest.
Movie magic.
William Friedkin says, he says he did that just to make the whole scene more unsettling. Because you're watching it and you don't know why, what is wrong.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. He's a, that dude was fucked up. I mean, you know, he made The Exorcist, so the guy was a lunatic.
I thought of one. So
see, I knew that my long ass story.
I mean, it'll get said before it comes back to me, but I feel better about myself.
Okay, that's good. Matt?
I don't know if he was in Ants, but he was definitely in Finding Nemo.
There we go. Yeah, see, that's it.
Close enough.
What was he in Finding Nemo?
He was in the fish tank in the dentist's office.
Yeah, is he the zebra?
He was one of those fish. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about fish.
I like a cat.
I have
fish,
one.
Ants.
I don't know the name of it, but I know that he played Vincent Van Gogh in a terrible movie a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. He got nominated for
that. He was nominated for that, yeah.
That's cool.
Actor. And he was great. He was great at being in that insanely boring movie.
I don't know the name, but I'll guess it's called Vincent.
It feels better than it should.
No, it's called, and I'm not even going to be able to pick up. I'm not going to be able to say it correctly. I don't think. Matt.
Oh, I know what it's called. I looked it up, but.
I don't remember what it's called. I think it's just called Van Gogh, no?
No. No, it's got a name about heaven or a gate or a thing.
At
Eternity's Gate. Yeah, I was almost there without looking it up. Dan?
Should have just been called Vincent.
Right?
Yeah.
Then we really would have known to avoid it. Oh, it's that guy who's going to cut his own ear off. No, thank you.
Called Paint Vincent.
Yeah.
All right, The Last Temptation of Christ.
Whoa.
Yes, damn. Scorsese.
Heavy.
I really let that one slip. Nice one.
Yeah, that's a really...
thanks to you, Doug, because I was like, acclaimed director is acclaimed director. Scorsese, and then, yeah.
Yeah. You know who else he worked with? Was David Lynch. He was in that movie with Nicolas Cage and Laura Dern called Fools.
Wild at Heart.
Wild at Heart. Wait, hey, are we still playing this game?
No, I'm out. I'm out, so I'm looking at all the...
Don't look them up.
No, I'm out, you guys. Tom, yeah, just consider me the judge.
I'm trying to say the name of the movie. I'm trying to play.
Okay, yeah. Let's take that again.
That's okay.
Whenever you guys need, whenever you need help, just reach over for me for a lifeline.
Okay. Matt?
Probably his best movie, Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Ooh.
Confirmed.
Oh, yeah. He's the bad guy.
All right. Well, since Dan was wrong about Ants, and I couldn't get to that title before Kasim, and Kasim was out, that means Matt Fernandez, you are our winner today.
Yay.
Is it right, Matt? You bested us.
You win nothing, but...
Yeah. I had fun.
That's what we all won today, was getting to have fun. Do you have any more Willem Dafoe's, though? Were you ready to go further?
I had Grand Budapest in my back pocket, but I would have to think past that.
And I bet you he was a voice in Isle of Dogs and Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Confirmed Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, see, the listeners kind of, in the back of their minds, they worry that my guests are cheating during the games. So when you pull up your computer and start saying answers, then it confirms that that's what people can be doing.
Right. At my last guess at Eternity's Gate, I pulled myself out of the competition.
Yeah, that's true.
And became a lifeline.
Yeah, yeah. But that's I'm going to try to remember to say that to people before we start. Please don't just start looking up the answers. Because, you know, with the old movies. What's that?
It's an honor system. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sullies the game.
I think because everyone knows you cheated, Matt.
Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
Nobody knew that he was in Speed 2.
Fuck that. I loved that movie when I was a kid.
You did?
Yeah, well, when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, you were just at the right
When I was
age.
Dumb, Doug. When I was stupid, I loved that movie.
Yeah, it really was pretty awful.
Yeah, it's not a good movie.
And then at the end, when the boat crashes into the city and it just keeps crashing and crashing.
Yeah, it goes for like a mile.
Yeah, it's the longest crash ever. It's so weird. Okay, so now's the part of the show where we have a couple extra minutes. And I would love to bend your ears, pick your brains, and discuss movies that... you know, you're watching now during this pandemic and like what, you know, what you would recommend. Like I know Dan said he watched Fury, but like what's something that, have you seen anything that's, you know, uplifting or takes you to a different.
There's a movie on Hulu called The Lodge.
Oh yeah. I remember the.
It is twisty. It's a scary movie, but it's not. I don't want you to think it's like a ghost story or anything. It's really good. It's fucked up at the end. It's a great twist. Couldn't recommend it more if you have Hulu.
The Lodge. I saw one of the movies that like kind of squeaked out. You know, after all this shutdown, so it's been playing at drive-in movie theaters.
Yeah, I had no plans to see it, but I just found it on Hulu because we were out of stuff to watch.
Out of stuff? Oh, my God. There's so much. If you have all the streaming services, it's just overwhelming how many options you have. It's like, it's so crazy. But that's a good one because I needed somebody to recommend The Lodge.
I enjoyed it very much.
Push me into watching it. Then, you know, someone to call and complain to later if I don't like it. What about you, Cassim? Have you been watching anything particularly enjoyed?
Well, I just watched Hamilton. I had never seen the play. I thought it was fine. I thought it was okay. It was informative and easy to listen to, and I get why people like it.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
I haven't watched it yet, but the impression I get is it just kind of feels like you're straight up in a Broadway theater. Like they don't try to make it feel like anything other than a Broadway show, but there's lots of cutting and stuff, like lots of cameras.
There's lots of cameras. They didn't do anything special, I don't think, except just push in and take different camera angle shots and stuff when there's like a more dramatic moment. But other than that, you can still hear the audience and it's just like you were there and it's great. It's the audio's great. I mean, it doesn't sound like one of those cheap concert DVDs or something like that. It's really well done. And for those people who don't have hundreds of dollars to go see it on Broadway, especially now that you can't with the original cast, it's a great way to watch it.
How long is it?
Oh, it's close to 3 hours.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. There's an intermission and the whole deal.
That's what I figured.
For some reason they've really arrived at a template for Broadway musicals where they tend to be with a 15 minute intermission about 2.5 hours long. And it's now some musicals are coming out and bucking that trend and doing like 90 minutes with no intermission and stuff like that, which I've been enjoying because it seems weird to me that a musical just because it's a musical automatically has to be so long.
I did check my watch. Yeah. A couple times just to see where we were at with it.
And then when you get to intermission, they say, hey, it's intermission. What do you do then? Do you pause it or do they actually do a physical intermission?
There is I think a 1 minute timer on the screen. It says intermission and there's like either a 30 second or a 1 minute timer that counts down.
Cause what I'll do is go stand in the longest line I can find when it's time for intermission.
because the bathroom lines at Broadway theaters are horrible. Yeah. Always, always a long ass line. I mean, especially for the women. The women, it's just nuts how long the lines are at the Broadway theaters, because they're old ass theaters that with tiny restrooms. Like, I don't know how they. it's wild. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to Dan now for a movie recommendation.
You know, just yesterday I released my list of favorite summer movies of all time, but I recently watched, because of the footage they use in I'll Be Gone in the Dark, the HBO documentary about Michelle McNamara, I had never seen Creature from the Black Lagoon. And so I went and watched it for the very first time, and I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah. I mean, there, you know what, there's some camera work and underwater camera work in there that I imagine when that movie came out was heralded. Mm-hmm. It's very good. Very good camera work.
And lots of, but some sort of unintentional laughs throughout.
Yeah, every once in a while. Yeah, for sure.
There's, I mean, like, the creature's not genuinely scary, right?
No, but you do, it does evoke sympathy. And obviously it's so similar to The Shape of Water, which I'm sure is, Guillermo del Toro loves monsters. So I felt like that was kind of a purposeful homage anyway. But it does, the creature does that actor does a really good job evoking feeling in a very stiff, prosthetic costume, but it's good. I liked it a lot. And then just from some of my summer movies that I recommended yesterday on Twitter and Instagram, Stand By Me is my favorite movie of all time, but some other ones, Everybody Wants Some. I feel like some people haven't seen that yet. Obviously The Burbs.
Love The Burbs.
Hell yes.
Burbs is one of my top three Tom Hanks movies next to Nothing in Common.
Sardine. The pretzel sardine scene. I'll still say it that way.
Yeah. And then like Summer Rental, The Great Outdoors, Meatballs. Days of Confused counts in my book because it's the first night of summer. But Wet Hot, Jaws.
Yeah, just lots of movies that take place during the summer and that are, a lot of them are classics. I was having fun yesterday when I saw your list because The Great Outdoors was on there. Mm-hmm. And, I just love to point out to people I feel bad about it, but it's also just so weird that it's in the movie, but you can see the trainer's stick hitting a bear, in one scene in the movie. And I'm always kind of saddened by but it's a big bear and not that big of a stick. So I think it's more to get his attention, but it's still, doesn't feel right, but it's also weird that
it doesn't seem abusive, but it definitely feels annoyingly prodding.
But then you could see in the movie is the craziest part.
Yeah,
that they just didn't even take it out.
I love that movie.
And Kasim, you were going to recommend something else in addition to Hamilton?
Hamilton's the one. There was a movie that I was surprised by that I got a recommendation on, and I like UFO, paranormal, all that kind of stuff, and it was a really well done. It's called The Vast of Night. And
on
Prime? It's on Prime.
Yeah,
and it's super well done. I had no idea what to expect, and I was pleasantly surprised by the acting, and the cinematography was great. And it's, it's in the 50s and it has a real strong sense of time and place. And it's not about aliens or anything, but it's more about these two characters that kind of discover this radio frequency. And it's, there's a little bit of a spooky element to it, but it's just really well done.
Are they do you think they're actual kids or do you think they're playing younger?
The girl was in high school and the other guy seemed like he worked at the radio station, but maybe he was just out of high school or something. Cause he was walking around with a cigarette the whole time. I don't know if that's just what happened in the 50s or not, but he seemed like he could have been in a sophomore or something or junior in college.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, they're both very young, but they both, the performances are so, I just don't know how they managed to understand the time period so well.
Yeah, I guess it was the director's first outing too. So it was just really well done.
Yeah, it's really atmospheric and yeah, like you said, they just really nailed that time period. And you know, and then you also realize as you're watching it that, oh, okay, they also didn't have much money. So that also helps to, you know, make this thing so take place, you know, in a simpler time.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Andrew Patterson's the director. Should give him some props.
Props, Andrew Patterson. Props. We're giving them to you. All right, well, those are some great recommendations. Let me ask the three of you one final question. I hope I ask you questions for years to come. But has anyone seen the movie that stars Ethan Hawke called Predestination?
No.
No?
Predestination, no.
I'm telling you guys, people have been telling me for years that that's the one. That's the one that I'm missing out on, because I always used to ask, you know, name a movie that I probably, you know, that you think I haven't seen that's just a great movie that, well, you know, I should, you know, get around to it. And that movie comes up so much, and I still haven't pulled the trigger on it, because a lot of times I get this reaction, which is you have no idea it even exists. It's called Predestination.
Oh, so, Sarah Snook's in it. Yeah.
Oh, 2014. It's not even that old.
I think the poster puts people off because it's just Ethan Hawke holding a gun, and that's like every other movie poster. So I wonder if people just wrote it off as like another one of those lame action movies.
Maybe. And, you know, and Ethan Hawke, I think he's a great actor, but he also like works constantly. So he's, you know, he's just in a lot of movies that people aren't even aware of. You know, like I saw him in a movie called Stockholm that I liked a lot. And it just had a brief theatrical run, and then, you know, I didn't hear much about it. But it's,
is that the bank robbery?
Uh-huh. It's about,
yeah, that was a great movie, yeah.
It's about the Stockholm Syndrome, the expression that Ethan Hawke had to play a bank robber who's so charismatic that all the people that he was holding hostage started to root for him rather than the law enforcement. And that's what Stockholm Syndrome is.
I got to watch that again. That was a good movie.
The box office for Predestination is $201,000.
Oh, no.
Well, they're going to get another $5 for me.
I wonder if that's
it has to have at least, yeah, it has to have at least doubled that number since then, but, you know, on demand and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kasim's going to watch it, take the bullet for all of us.
And, yeah. Let's just do this again tonight, and we'll talk about it.
Okay. There's a 1 minute intermission in the middle of it, and what's another Hamilton thing I can say? So I'm writing it down that you're going to watch it, Cassidy.
I will.
I want a report, or anybody that's listening to the show that watches this movie, because people really do, when they speak of it, that have seen it, are very passionate about it. It's also got time travel in it, which is, for me, has become tricky, because I think there's a few great time travel movies, and there's no reason for there to be any other ones.
Sure.
Right.
Yes, and it's got, like I said, Sarah Snook, which I first saw in Succession, who plays Shiv, and she's a fantastic actress. So, I mean, there's two great reasons to watch it.
Boom. I love it. That's so cool. Dan Van Kirk, what have you got to plug, sir? I know you have multiple podcasts going.
For sure. Pen Pals, me and Rory Scovel, Dumb People Town with the Sklar Brothers. And then I do a nightly podcast called The Goodnight Show, which is drops around midnight Central Time. All episodes are anywhere, usually just around 20 minutes. Just a fun little lighthearted show. Covers a wide variety of topics. And then specifically, though, Thursday, July 16th, I'm going to be at Nowhere Comedy Club. You can get tickets at nowherecomedyclub.com or danielvankirk.com. They're only $15. It starts at 6 p.m. on Thursday the 16th. That's 6 p.m. Pacific time. So 8 p.m. Rochelle, Illinois time, my hometown. Yeah, tickets are only $15. There's also an option to do a meet and greet afterwards. And I'm doing, I would guess, 85 to 95% of all new material, including a story that I have yet to tell on quote unquote stage in any comedy form. So if you're interested in some new stuff, this is the show to do it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, if you're tired of Dan's old stuff, check this out.
Yeah, I agree. Give me another chance.
If you're sick of his older material, don't worry about it. This is going to be new. And it's exciting. Those shows are, I've done a couple stand-up spots on the internet, and it's interesting. It's an interesting experience.
Yeah, they seem to do a pretty good job. I've had ones where I felt like, I wondered if we were actually even doing a comedy show. But I have the mic stand and I stand up for it. And they encourage that too there for their comics and the way they put everybody's volume down and then also kind of monitor that nobody's trying to take over the show. I feel like Ben Glebe and those guys do a really good job, and I hope people come out and just want to hang for a night with me doing some comedy.
Right on. Nowhere Comedy.
Yes. 716. Nowhere
Comedy Club.
You got it.
Kasim G., what are you doing, man? What are you up to?
I do a podcast with Jamie Lynn Sigler and Rob Eiler, who were AJ and Meadow Soprano on The Sopranos. So I do a podcast with those two. And it's not a Sopranos podcast, but it does come up, unfortunately. I do my best to not talk about it. But yeah, we have new episode up every Monday. And the YouTube videos go up every Tuesday. And
what's it called?
Yeah, just Pajama Pants podcast. So you can find me there.
How did you arrive at the idea of doing a show with those two, but also having it not really be about The Sopranos?
Well, I met Rob. We shot a pilot for a show years and years ago, and we're always really good friends ever since. And then one of his best friends is Jamie Lynn Sigler. And so the three of us kind of decided to do one. And there's the whole rewatch podcast thing is being done. And, those two have never watched the show. So for us to do one would be, it'd be a mess, to be quite honest. But also, Rob doesn't really care too much about talking about The Sopranos, and we figure there's at least three other shows, podcasts that do that, and we'll just stick to chatting. And but it does come up,
Yeah, and also
I can't stop it.
I would think that Rob would be like maybe a little touchy on the subject, because I felt AJ was written in a way that where people were like, not liking him. Even though the actor did a good job, the character was...
Did a great job with it, yeah. And to be honest, I think there's a lot of ever since James Gandolfini passed, there's a, because he really was a father figure to him. So there's a lot of, there's some stuff there, and he doesn't always like to talk about it. So, but Jamie's an open book, and we've talked about it a bunch. So yeah, go listen if you're interested at all in that.
Yeah, that sounds great. Pajama Pants. Put it on now. And Matt Fernandez.
Well, I don't have a podcast, but I was running a weekly show at Divine Brewing in Palm Harbor, Florida. It's closed right now. I don't know when we're going to start back up again, but it's every Wednesday night and every second Saturday of the month. Free show. Come on down. Super funny people from all over Florida. Hopefully it starts up soon. I think my next actual show is in October, but we'll see if that happens. At Side Splitters, I'll be there with Rich Voss. I think it's October 23rd, something around there. But like I said, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And
there's clubs that are open though in Florida, though, right?
Yeah, they can't serve alcohol right now, so it's kind of a bummer.
What?
Yeah,
they allow the clubs to be open and people
bars are open. You just can't serve alcohol right now. Yeah, it's kind of stupid. Pick a lane. But
I get the part about drunk people are terrible at social distancing. So I get that. But sure. Why would a bar be open at all if they're not, if they can't serve?
Yeah. Is it even a bar?
It's a place to sit, just a place to congregate.
A conference room? I don't know. But yeah, my one hour special's on Prime. Follow me on Twitter, all that stuff.
Yeah. Fat Hernandez on Twitter.
That is correct.
Yeah. Did you ever regret that? The it's fun wordplay.
It is fun. Occasionally, like if it's an inexperienced host, they'll bring me up on stage with that name. And that was a bummer.
Please welcome Fat.
Yeah. And I'm just like, you piece of shit.
Oh my God. That's brutal. Well, thank you to all three of you. It's always great to hear from each of you. And anytime you want to come back, Kasim, you have to come back real soon because I want the dirt on Predestination.
Yeah, I'll make sure to let you know when I watch it. It's going to be great.
Very nice. I should mention that my new podcast, yeah, why not make up another podcast, right? my new one is called Wide World of Dougs, and it premieres this Friday wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks again to Kasim G, Matt Fernandez, and Daniel Van Kirk. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
As always, that is all.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in it.